And it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Maybe not in Cleveland, but there we are. The Steelers lose to the Brownies. Oh my God, was this ugly. In Cleveland, final score 13-6. And on the heels of the Ravens beating the Packers last night at Lambeau Field, that means your Pittsburgh Steelers still have not clinched a damn thing yet and have to beat the Ravens next weekend at home in order to clinch the AFC North and win the final playoff spot available in the AFC playoff field alongside my good friend Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show. I am Chris Mack. Kaboom is live at whatever they call that stadium now that the Browns play in. First Niagara Bank something stadium. I don't know what the hell. It doesn't matter what the hell they call it. That's where he is. Huntington Bank Field. I'm sorry. In Cleveland. I am in a different locale. I'm at my niece's new house in Cranberry because they wanted to have us over to see their new house. So that's where I am. That's the power of the show. We can be anywhere. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you follow on social media and, of course, get subscribed on YouTube if for some weird reason you haven't yet. Just look for Cabali and Mac on all your social medias. And, of course, like I said, subscribe on YouTube as well. Thanks to the good friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. Going out, get somebody's nails done right before New Year's Eve. You got someone in your life who wants to look pretty for the New Year's Eve holiday. Make sure they go there to Nail Studio 2 out in the South Hills, Lakeview Square, right there on 19 in the McMurray Peters Township area. Next to Juniper Grill, stop in. Online booking available 24/7 by going to nailstudio2.com. That is a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com. We appreciate them supporting the show. So, before you even got on the show, Kaboom, we had one argument, which was me arguing with our friend Brian Garrett in the comments that the name of the show should be Flip and Flop because we wanted to give Mike Tomlin the Coach of the Year award last week. And
still one game left.
I calmly responded that no. We respond positively when the team wins. We respond negatively when they play like crap, which would be a day like today. That was not good enough for Mr. Garrett, a.k.a. Filippone's Burner, who says he's no longer listening to the show. But I'm sure he'll be back soon, and we'll look forward to his return. Then we had a quick argument before we actually hit go on the stream, in which I said the Steelers looked, and I'm not the only person to think this, the Steelers looked like they were playing to just avoid a Myles Garrett sack. And that was the priority because every pass was either behind the line of scrimmage or no more than 2 yards off the line of scrimmage. They forgot to run the football for the majority of the game, even though they averaged 6 yards a carry. And, oh, by the way, they got down to the goal line, down inside the 10 in crunch time via Pat Freiermuth and then forgot to throw the ball in his direction as well. 3 targets for MVS, who ran the wrong route twice. So, once again, a wonderfully managed offensive game plan by our friend Arthur Smith.
Yeah, what's your question? I can't believe you put up a tweet from Joe Thomas. Yeah, there's a shock that would be his takeaway from the game.
Well, he's not the only person.
Who else? Every ins are out there. Come on. I was here watching it and I saw, I mean, they would have a guy on that side all the time. They would chip him. When was the last time you saw Rodgers hold the ball more than 2.5 seconds, regardless of the situation? The more big of an issue was, of course, they don't want Myles Garrett to sack the quarterback and they're going to do everything in their possibility to be able to put somebody over there. Yeah. The bigger issue was the receivers. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be this awful. I mean, you had nothing. You had nothing from the receivers whatsoever, and that was the issue. Not Myles Garrett, whether preventing him to have a record breaker against you. I didn't see that at all. I saw Gainwell chipping him. I saw guys over there. I saw Myles Garrett lining up about 2 yards from his sideline to get some sort of an angle. Dylan Cook, for the most part, did his job and he got some help. I mean, that's how everybody plays TJ Watt. So why all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't want him to.
I totally understand sending extra people out there to chip Myles Garrett and getting rid of the ball quickly. those are logical things against any team, much less a team, like you said, with a Myles Garrett or a TJ Watt or an Aiden Hutchinson last week or whoever the pass rusher may be that you're facing. What I did not understand was the complete and utter lack of downfield passing. We saw it on the two-minute drill at the end of the first half, right? We saw them throwing the ball a little more than 4 or 5 yards downfield. You know, you take the little dump offs to Kenny Gainwell in the middle. The only time I saw them take a shot downfield all day was on a first and 10 when they didn't need to MVS in the fourth quarter, and then where they ended up punting. And then on a fourth and one in the Browns red zone when all they had to do was gain a yard and they threw a fade to Scotty Miller. It was just there was no cohesion to the game plan whatsoever.
I think they got a little bit surprised by that fourth and one because I think Darnell went out right before that and they had to call timeout and saying, hey, we were going to do the tush push, the Spartan or whatever you want to call it. Then all of a sudden they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this because the guy that makes it go is not in here. I don't know why you do what you do at that point right there. Yes, that's a weird call, especially to such a low percentage throw to a low percentage wide receiver. It's not like he was heaving up to DK Metcalf. I mean, that's strange. That needs to be questioned. I mean, it was questioned and you're not getting any answers, and you won't get any answers. I still think the problem was the receivers. I mean, at the end there in the second half, they're like, I'm putting 8-9 in the box. We're going press man on these receivers because I know you're not going to get open. And I did not think that was going to be the case. And I maybe questioned why Kenny Gainwell wasn't involved more than he was. What do you have?
Gainwell had 4 targets for 3 catches, 12 yards, 7 carries for 26. Jaylen Warren had 12 carries for 64 yards. They averaged 5.5. No, the longest carry was 29. It was the Connor Hayward one out of the, you know, tush push formation. And, you know, that's you need to be able to live on with a day where you don't break off 45-yard runs once a quarter. Like that and when you're averaging 6 yards a carry, which they did for much of this game. I get what you're saying. The Browns were stacking the box, trying to play press man, taking everything away at the line of scrimmage. The answer to that is not more throwing the ball 2 yards behind the line and more wide receiver screens. Like, the answer to that is just run the ball right up through the middle. Your guys have both shown that they can gain 4 yards a clip if you just hand it off on inside zones consistently. And you don't have to break a 40-yarder every time. You don't have to break a 40-yarder at all. Take 4 or 5-yard chunks at a time and simply move the ball down the field, because after the first 2 drives, Cleveland's offense couldn't do jack shit anyway. They had 6 first downs in the last 50 minutes. All they had to do was kick 2 more field goals today, and they win the damn game.
I know, and 2 missed field goals, too, or at least 1 missed field goal, right?
One, yeah.
1 missed field goal, which was quite significant. I mean, they didn't play their best game. I mean, we can all say that. We can sit here and pick it apart, whatever, but you know who was the unsung hero of the Cleveland Browns? I'm not going to say it because I'll screw it up. The punter. My Lord, was he.
He was booming him.
He was flipping the field late in that game where you thought he could get the ball at midfield or minus 40, and you're getting the ball at the 10, 15, 20-yard line. I think it all does come down to it. I think it honestly comes down to wide receiver play. Then you have to question why you're throwing at the MVS 4 times in that last drive. What was it, 4 maybe?
The final 3 plays were all targets in MVS's direction.
I think he's proven today he's a 15-snap-a-game guy. He's a 3, maybe 4. And I think DK's loss was tremendous. And I think Darnell on top of that was huge. I think you throw Calvin Austin in there as well, and it's a triple threat, so to speak. But the thing is, you don't know if you're getting those guys back next week or not. Well, at least we know one of them is not coming back, and it doesn't look like the other one is either.
Oh, I doubt you do. By the way, thanks to the friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. you need to get it done. Maybe it's a drywall repair. Maybe you want wallpaper in the dining room. Maybe you want to get the color consultation. Don't do the wallpaper. Kaboom advises against it. Unless you want that 1980s look, which, you know, I'll be honest, it's kind of nostalgic. But whatever you want done, interior, exterior painting, commercial, industrial, residential, they handle it all at Higgins. They've been doing it for four decades. We trust them in our homes. You need to trust them as well. Why? Because they get it done. They get it done right. They do a fantastic job. And they're locally owned and operated. HigginsProfessional.com to schedule your free estimate today or give them a call at 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show. Here's the thing that I've heard and seen a lot of since about halfway through the fourth quarter of this game.
Fire Tomlin?
No, that'll come down very late week, especially if they lose to Baltimore. It's from Steve, Mr. 724. Metcalf suspension is the season killer. I understand how impactful Metcalf not being out there is, especially when, like you said, Kaboom, you compound it with no Calvin Austin. You compound it with the Darnell Washington broken arm, and I would suspect he doesn't play against Baltimore either. But if you can't beat the Cleveland effing Browns, even without DK Metcalf, then you're not a playoff team anyway. I'm sorry. You're not.
That's hard to say. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that. That's just, I think, a short-sighted thought right there. That you can't win. You don't deserve the playoffs. You know, if I don't get a yard on fourth and one, I don't deserve to win the game. No, it's not the case whatsoever. They didn't play their best game. They got off to a slow start. And they weren't able to capitalize on turnovers that they normally able to capitalize on. And I am not willing right now to throw the old baby out with the bathwater. I think these last 3 weeks meant something.
Okay.
I think that this might be a different outcome now next week than what we thinking of the Tomlin game, the collapse at the end, and the same old Tomlin, same old Steelers. I don't know if it's trending that way in my eyes. I think
why is that? Because I'm and I understand you took the kid to the WWE show last night.
I watched some of it when it came home. So I didn't go to bed till 1:30.
Okay, so if you're a Steelers fan and you saw the Ravens Packers game last night, you are deathly effing afraid of what Derrick Henry is going to do this week.
I don't know. Am I? I mean, you're telling me with Derek Harmon, they're a different run defense, so I should be. I'm taking your word for it, right?
I think they are much better with Derek Harmon in there. I still think we could be looking at the exact same scenario we got last year, the Ravens actually remember they have Derrick Henry. They lean on him. And it's enough to beat a team who, despite, I think, 15 first downs in the final 50 minutes of the game, couldn't manage to score more than 6 points. Like, that's the Steelers have been good in the red zone all year. And
that's all about third downs. They were 3 of 15 today. I think that's all because of Metcalf's, you know, taking away some of this. You weren't been able to do what you did if Metcalf was out there. I think it is huge. I think it might. I mean, if they do lose next week, maybe it is a season killer because of that. Maybe it is. I haven't seen this offense like that since, well, Rodgers wasn't healthy, Buffalo, Chicago, probably since the Chargers game. And what's the only thing different? Metcalf.
So here's the problem is the offense looks to lack any level of creativity that can make up for the lack of Metcalf. Like, there's none in there. It's swing it out to Janu and maybe Gainwell or Thielen or whoever's out there on the edge. Fire it out to them there on the edge and let them try to fight for 3 yards. And then you're behind the chains. And then there was no commitment to run the ball early. There was no commitment early in the game to continue to run the ball. And this is like the same old story, regardless of OC over the last 4 or 5 years, regardless of who the running backs were, regardless of who the quarterbacks were. It's the same old thing of, well, we'll throw the ball right at the line of scrimmage, and then we'll wonder why it's third and seven every time, or third and six. And we'll wonder why we can't convert on third downs.
This has worked the past 3 weeks where this offense looked like it was unstoppable. Has it not worked?
Because they were pushing the ball downfield, right?
Why were they pushing the ball downfield? Oh, they had somebody to throw it to. Oh.
But they have other people to throw it to other than DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
right?
And,
they,
and you saw. I mean, he had what was he?
The refusal to use Pat Freiermuth.
He had nine targets for Scantling for 3 for 21. So that tells you.
Yeah, no, we've established MVS sucks, and he can just sit on the sideline next week. The lack of commitment to using Pat Freiermuth, I don't say this because I'm some sort of ridiculous Penn State apologist. I say it because it's fireable at this point. Why the hell are you not using Pat Freiermuth more? He gets open in the middle.
At all.
And then does stop. He had three catches for 60 yards today. That's
and most of it in that last drive.
Yeah. So why were you not getting the ball to him earlier? And that's where people come back around to the thought of, well, they just wanted to get rid of the ball too quickly. And Pat's got to get downfield and, you know, find his way through the zone. And it takes an extra second. And so it's 1, 2, 3 out because we don't want Rodgers to get hit. We don't want Rodgers to get sacked. I understand that part of the game plan. But Rodgers has shown he has the ability to stand in there for an extra second, like you pointed out, the last 3 weeks, and get the ball downfield. Kenneth Gainwell had the longest catch of the week last week in Detroit, didn't he? Why didn't we see any of that again?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you don't use Gainwell more other than you were worried about him chipping. They used him to chip a lot, but not enough so he wasn't out in the pass pattern at all either. So it was a flawed game, but it was a plot execution. Who knows what the game plan really was? You can't get off to a 10-0 start, too. For how well the defense played three straight quarters in that game, you can't allow that to happen to this team. You can't turn the ball over, two, three times? You can't get any points. I mean, that's the difference in the game right there. I mean, Cleveland's going to come out and at least put an effort in here. I thought, maybe I didn't think, I don't know. But, we look at it like it's gloom and doom. Gloom and doom. Let me ask you this. A month ago, would you kill for a Week 18 game against Baltimore for the chance to win the division?
I mean, I wouldn't have killed for it. I would have taken it, yeah.
So, it's perspective. But I don't think Derrick Henry, Mr. 32-year-old or whatever he is, after 40 carries, is going to feel like peaches and cream next week, to be honest with you.
Okay. Right? I mean, that's fine. I worry, I have too many memories seared into my brain of Derrick Henry treating Steelers defenders like toddlers running after the ice cream truck that, I can't forget them that easily. I love Derek Harmon, right? Derek Harmon changes some things in defending the run, but I don't know if it changes enough that when Derrick Henry gets out on the edge and starts to rumble, he doesn't continually just stiff arm and plant dudes into the turf like he's done in the past.
Yeah, but if Lamar comes back, maybe they change their mode of thinking too. Who knows?
That's
maybe
entirely likely given Harbaugh and their OC, Monken.
I don't know. I mean, just thinking about this Henry matchup, I like the more to stop him now than I have probably at any point in his Baltimore career. I just feel that they'll be able to stop him better than they have in the past. And then that leaves you up to Snoop Hundley or whoever it is. I'm not really worried about that game right now. It's a matter of how you rebound or you let this game affect you, does it? And then it still worries me that is there anything going to be different next year? I mean, next week. I mean, with offensively. I mean,
that's my primary worry. You're not going to have DK Metcalf. As you pointed out, Darnell Washington has a broken arm. It was brought up in the postgame press conference with Mike Tomlin. I wouldn't suspect, while they're not immediately ruling him out right now, I wouldn't expect he's back next week. So who are they going to target? Are they going to target Marcus Valdes-Scantling 9 times again? Are they going to actually target Pat Freiermuth? Are they going to continue to hand it off to Jonnu Smith or throw it to him on what amount to long handoffs out on the outside? Like, this offense has a very clear path forward when they commit to the run game. It's get 4 yards at a time. In the case of today's game, they were getting 5.5, 6 yards a carry. And then use play action off of that to hit your tight ends and occasionally other guys downfield. That can work even without DK Metcalf. I don't think I saw one play action pass today, Mark. Not one. They were too busy getting rid of it real quick. I don't want to get sacked. Get rid of the ball.
That I don't want to get sacked. When do they want to get sacked, right?
I'm not saying you want to get sacked. They burned the game plan at the expense of actually pushing the ball downfield to avoid giving up any sacks at all, whether we're talking about Myles Garrett's sack record or otherwise.
I just totally disagree. I think that's just the yins are coming out on you.
Maybe it is.
I think it is.
I see lights. So maybe it is my inner yins are coming out. But, like,
That's a great narrative to have. The Steelers were worried more about the sack record than they win. The haters that were sitting there being quiet the last 3 weeks are just going to come out in droves because of that. They want to prevent Myles Garrett from sacking the quarterback and not having 5, 6, 7 sacks a game. Wow. Sue them. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Then why did the offense in totality look completely different than it did the last 3 weeks? You can't just say DK. That's not the lone excuse here. The game plan was totally different. And I understand you want it to look somewhat different because you're going up against the best pass rusher in the league. I understand you want it to look somewhat different because you've got a scheme around the fact that DK isn't out there on the edge occasionally getting single coverage. But you, once again, refuse to commit to the run game, which was the problem when they were losing and the offense looked inconsistent in November. And when you don't commit to the run game, you could throw the play action pass out the window.
Yeah,
and so you've got to get rid of the ball quick every time.
But who's going to believe in a play action pass when you got those receivers? I don't know.
You've got receivers, you've got tight ends, you've got backs that catch the ball.
The problem is
a receiver on a play action pass.
This actually might be a prayer answered, I guess, or at least an eye opening thing, maybe not a prayer, that they really thought that these receivers, these veteran cast offs, we're just going to be able to pick up slack and just move forward. Hey, it's Cleveland. We could be able to do this. Now it's going to be back to the lab and see, that's not going to work. So we have to bring in, which I don't think the tight ends were used enough, Freiermuth or Jonnu. And I don't think the running backs, I don't think Gainwell was used enough. Maybe that now opens their eyes to the point of, hey, this is how we can and cannot do next week.
Yeah, I think you're right. They'll have to figure out other places to go with the football through the air. But once again, I don't understand an offense that completely gets away from the run game when they're averaging 6 yards a carry and not down by more than 10 at any point in the game. But we've seen this happen a couple times now this year.
At the end of that game, the last two drives, you pretty much have to throw, right?
The last drive, you have to. Yeah, you've got no timeouts. But the drive before that, and the drive before that, they did run three times and then punt. But they were odd calls, like these stretches to the outside. And it's, no, just hand it to Jaylen Warren or Gainwell, for that matter. Let him bust it up between the guards or between the guard and tackle and pick up 4 yards. And then you go on 2nd and 6. And then you've got short yardage and it's manageable. And then you got 3rd and 2, and it's manageable. And you're not throwing some random fade to MVS on 1st and 10, who hasn't caught a damn ball all day. It's just, I will say this. Aaron Rodgers' obsession with Valdes-Scantling came through today.
And I think that might have opened his eyes a little bit, too.
He didn't even know what routes to run at times.
Well, only that. I mean, I don't know about that, but whatever, but. I mean, just him catching the ball, he just looked fragile and weak and bumbling, and he just didn't look like he was ready for it. I mean, there's a reason why he was not used in, where was he, San Francisco this year?
He
wasn't used in Kansas City, Green Bay, whatever. Green Bay, was that? No, Green, Kansas City. I thought it was San Francisco earlier in the year. I mean, I think it's just he's good for his 12 snaps a game. Thielen and Miller are good for moving the downs on third down conversions. You just don't have much on first and second down right now if you want to pass the ball. And I'm telling you, they were jamming up that line of scrimmage. I'm surprised they actually – I mean, this is not a piss poor defense either.
I mean, no, they're very good against – they're number two in the league against the pass, but they're not great against the run.
It's been like 3 years since they allowed a 300-yard passer too, so – I mean, it's not like they're chump change.
All the more reason to
run
the
football. But you should have been able to score more points.
You should have been able to run the ball. Yeah. And they just gave up on it at times, as they do in games where they look inconsistent offensively.
No, they gave up. I didn't get the sense they gave up. I just don't.
On the run game?
No. Yeah, let me look this crap up here.
Okay.
I could tell you.
All right. While you do that, I'll thank the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will take care of you. The whole team ready to take the stress off your back when it comes time to buy or sell a home. It can be a tough process. They make it as easy for you as possible. Go check out the listings right now at HeckTeamHomes.com. HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate the Dan Heck team supporting the program. Okay. What were you going to tell me I'm wrong here? Are we going to roll through play-by-play here on the game book?
In the second half, the Steelers ran the ball 3, 4, 5, 7 times in the third quarter. They threw the ball 6 times.
Okay.
In the fourth quarter, obviously they were going to throw the ball 16 times because of that last play. They only ran the ball 5, but they were playing from behind. First quarter, 5 rushes, 6 rushes, 5 passes. Second quarter, 12-6. So, I mean, they ran more, but I don't think they gave up on it until at the end of the game, the last 2 drives maybe.
They give up on it at times when it makes sense to just lean into it. And I'm talking about this game plan in general as a greater whole. Like, you know you're without DK Metcalf, and then all of a sudden you're without Darnell Washington, too. And it's like, okay, well, if you have no confidence in any of your other pass catchers, again, why they don't have any confidence in Freiermuth is a mystery to all of us, but whatever. You don't have any other confidence in your other pass catchers, lean into the run game. You just saw what these dudes were able to do a week ago against Detroit. So lean into the run game, especially when you're averaging 5-6 yards a clip. Don't be afraid to run the ball on first down. Run the ball on first down and get yourself in second and manageable. They did have a couple drives where they did that today. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with moving down the field at second and 4 or second and 6 and then third and 2. But they get caught up. And if you don't have confidence in your pass catchers aside from DK, why do you keep throwing these back shoulder timing routes to Thielen, who had one broken up on him? And MVS, who had, I think, 3 of them thrown in his direction today.
Yeah, like, well, I think that's all they can run. That's why. At least MVS, it's the only thing they believe he can run. Or at least Aaron. I don't see him being considered a great route runner. So the issue is that. I mean, the issue is wide receiver. I will stick to that. And I don't think that if you just throw Roman Wilson in there, that's going to make a difference. But let me tell you something. I think you'll see more of Roman Wilson next week.
I mean, have 3 snaps, he couldn't do worse snaps than MVS did today.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you're right. I mean, you got the middle of the field they were using well with, they just didn't do it enough with Freiermuth. When you have your 2 top targets being Valdez Scantling at 9 and Miller at 7,
there's been no real explanation for that yet this year. None. Just Mike Tomlin saying, well, keep watching. Okay, Mike.
People sit there and complain that, he just doesn't answer anything. So it doesn't answer anything.
I don't read the transcripts of Arthur Smith's meetings with the media every week. I know you go to a great many of them. Has he had any explanation whatsoever about why Freiermuth has been avoided as a target in the middle of the field?
No, I know. I just know in the past that they figured there's too many too many bad things can happen when you throw the ball. But I thought they threw the ball over the middle a lot today.
Every time they threw the ball in the middle of the field today, something good happened. Every time.
Yeah. What was that game yesterday? It wasn't the early game. There was some the Chargers game.
Yeah, balls were getting bounced up in the air.
That's why he probably believes that. But I believe. I'd have to look at the spray chart on next gen.
Yeah.
See what he's at. I would imagine that it's not as bad as you think it is.
Far as avoiding the middle of the field goes?
Yeah, I think he threw something.
Well, that's fine. I think they work it more. It. Like,
was this what the hell? 21st, what was he? I could tell you right now. Oh, he threw a whole bunch. He completed probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 inside the numbers. Okay. 14 of his 21.
Okay.
A couple of those were behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. So, we've seen times where there was absolutely nothing in the middle of the field. He's even thrown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 completions basically within the numbers, within the hashes, maybe a tad outside of it. But I think they used the middle of the field as much as they've ever done.
My complaint wasn't with the middle of the field. It was the people who they're not using in the middle of the field. Like Freiermuth, again, like I'm going to sound like a broken record, but like the dude knows exactly where to go, sits down, catches the ball, and then makes things happen on the move after he catches it.
8 of 8 on throws outside the numbers of 10 yards or further.
Yeah, because there was nothing there. There was nobody open on those. And it was, again, those ridiculous back shoulder throws to MVS and Scotty Miller on a fade route on 4th and 1. Like, I realize Aaron gets a lot of leeway to check out of things. And a lot of these things that we're complaining about.
He didn't seem happy about the Scotty Miller one. I don't know. Why didn't he change it then? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it's impossible for us to really know what he checks out of and what he checks into. But like, regardless of who's making the call to throw a 4th and 1 fade to Scotty Miller.
It was probably an option, and it was one of two plays, so he knew the first one wasn't going to win, I would guess. So he had to go to number two. I'm guessing that's what happened. Maybe he was upset because there were the two plays that were called. Either a run up the middle into the teeth or a fade to Scotty Miller. It's like, what are we doing here? They should have just went push with Johnu. They had him in there, then they decided to call timeout. I don't think Scotty Miller, somebody just said sucks. I don't think so. I think you got to put him in that situation of being a third down specialist. Then that's where he thrives. But the problem is so does Thielen. So you have the same stuff.
I don't think Scotty Miller same person. Sucks. That's not the word.
He's using correctly.
Yeah.
Well, he's using correctly because they have no other options.
Here's what I will point out as I just pulled up the next gen passing chart too. You mentioned they did target a lot between the numbers, right? Okay, that's a fair point. How many of those went more than 10 yards downfield?
That's all game. I mean, that's all season. They're not going to throw the ball deep.
No, I'm not saying you got to throw 10 yards downfield, Mark. Come on. Pat Freiermuth isn't open 10 yards downfield in the middle of the field.
Why all of a sudden you're surprised that you're getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds? The whole year.
You're telling me this group of tight ends, athletically gifted as Jonnu Smith is, as much of a zone beater as Pat Freiermuth is, that these guys can't get 10 yards downfield and get open in less than 3 seconds?
I'm just looking at – sorry, I'm looking at Trey Essex's tweet. MVS didn't do a damn thing all day. They force feed him 3 plays.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I know. Abram –
And here's the thing, like, we're arguing about all this stuff after the fact because they weren't able to beat a 3-win team with a rookie 5th-round draft pick quarterback.
Yes.
Like, defense did its job today.
I don't want to sound like that guy because I'm not – I don't believe I'm an apologist. I just tell you what I feel. But this is a team – that just was a possession away from beating the Buffalo Bills last week. But it's also the team that got whipped by the Bears and whipped by the Titans.
Right.
But last week, they did play right there with the Bills and probably should have won on this field right here. So Sanders had a hot start, but still 13 points or basically 10 because you gave him those last three should win you a game, especially this magnitude. I totally agree.
Hold on. I'm just looking at the snap count for the wide receivers. 53 snaps for MVS.
How are you getting that at?
I don't know. Brooke just tweeted Steelers wide receiver usage versus Browns via next gen stats.
You have to have some kind of special.
You got a special log in there, Brooke Pryor.
Special ESPN pass.
You got a special
log. Didn't play any, huh? Roman Wilson, which was surprising. I mean, that's your issue right there. I mean, you look at it. 53 and 41. I mean, what team in the world is going to win a damn game?
Well, this
Miller, MVS, and Adam Thielen.
So no, here's
role players.
Here's exactly why people are so damn worried about next weekend, then, because if they don't adjust a whole lot between now and then, what gives us any reason to believe they can score more than 13 points against the Ravens next week?
Well, maybe Calvin Austin's back. I don't know. he might have been all they needed today, honestly.
Thanks to our good friend Arch for supporting the show. Get down to Archie's, especially tomorrow night. Watch some Monday Night Football. Get some wings. That is not an Archie's wing, I can tell right now.
It's the most disgusting thing I've seen in my life.
Yeah, get the good stuff at Archie's. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday nights. Best place to watch the games. Awesome menu. Get one of them meatball subs. Those are delicious as well. And they always got Ice Cold Iron and Iron City on draft. We may be having a field trip there soon as well, Kaboom. We've got a big meeting tomorrow afternoon. Thought maybe we could stop at Arches on the way back, grab some wings and an iron.
What time's Arch open on Mondays?
I don't know. I'm sure if we call, he'll open for us.
He'll open for you.
He'll open for you. Real quick before we wrap things up here, give me – you haven't been nearly as negative and nearly as angry as I have been today. I need positivity walking away from this thing, looking ahead to next weekend. Give me some things to feel good about going into this Ravens game. And give me some reasons to believe they can win it and extend their season by at least a week.
Well, I think the prior 3 weeks are significant, if it's not defensively and offensively. I think the quarterback puts you in a different position right now to be able to overcome like this. Even he didn't have his best. I don't think he didn't have his best game. I think he just didn't have his weapons. I think this was a wake-up call that we need to change some things wide receiver related. And I liked how the defense has stopped the run. And they're playing a home game. I mean, if anybody shows up, right? It is a night game.
Is that confirmed yet?
I mean, who else is going to be?
I don't know. Could be Tampa, Carolina, right?
Yeah. There's nobody else. It has to be. It's miserable. It's the worst thing about this loss.
Going to have to play on Sunday night, most likely.
It's awful. I just can't stand it. But, yeah, you know, this team, we've counted this team out a number of times already. They come back and shoved it in your face. I'm not really willing to do that quite yet because I know the Ravens are flawed as anybody. Mm-hmm. They just happened to have a game plan where the coach couldn't screw up last week.
Yeah, it was very difficult to screw it up.
I think they'll have a good shot at stopping Henry. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like the playoffs, last year? I just don't see that.
I admire your positivity and hope you are
right. I'm never positive.
Very rarely. We'll talk about it more throughout the week. Hopefully some very special things to announce regarding the program.
What was that?
In the next couple of days. Well, you know, we got a big meeting tomorrow, you know. Thought maybe we could let people know what's up with all that after everything's done and ironed out. You know what I mean?
Ironed out. I don't know. I'm just going to be moral support.
Moral support. That's kind of
understandable. You're there too. Maybe I can afford to buy new earphones, but the headphones.
Maybe. But I kind of like that you do like the old-fashioned newscaster thing where you just hold your hand to your ear the whole time. Mark Cabala here, reporting live from Cleveland.
See, they locked me out of the media booth or whatever, the radio booth, so I had to be out here with the masses. So
I did a great job anyway.
I wouldn't be using this at all, but big game next week.
One final thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. We appreciate them. Get your furnace tuned up if you need it done because it's going to be cold later this week and you want to make sure it's working. Get a hold of them. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call at 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show.
What's worse? Steelers play today or that wing from the press box?
That wing just barely.
It's not a wing. It's like a chicken leg. Disgusting.
All right. Go find some better wings. Enjoy your drive back from Cleveland.
This is what I ate that much. One bite. Yeah. That's enough.
That's all you need. And we'll catch up again later in the week. All Ian's, try to hang in there and stay positive ahead of this final game of the year. And as soon as we know when that game is, obviously, we'll talk about that as well. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and following on all the social media.
Why don't you try to be